We are in a series, like Pastor Bruce mentioned. It's called The Main Attraction, and we're going through the book of Mark, and we're calling it The Main Attraction because Mark highlights Jesus as the center focus, the main attraction of every occurrence, every story, everything that he writes. He wants to say, hey, here is Jesus, the servant, the Son of God. And so how many are ready for God's word to say this morning? Say a big amen. Well, we're going to be checking out Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 39. And to do that today, I'm going to invite my friend Matt to come up and read our scripture text for us today. You know, man, Matt, you're like a hero, man. When I think about you, man, Matt is an incredible dad. He's a great husband. You're a pretty good bass player, by the way. And I don't know if you noticed, but Matt is a weightlifter, man. And this dude is like serious about lifting weights. But not only that, he's a runner. This guy does marathons. I mean, I'm just like, dude, it's so unbelievable. And on top of all that, he has the mind of a theologian. And man, if you've ever sat with him and talked about the word, you are a great thinker. I love how you think. I love the questions that you ask. And the word that I think about, Matt, when I think about you, is the word steadfast. Just consistent. And everybody needs a steadfast, consistent, faithful person in their life. And that's you, Matt. So, hey, would you take your freedom this morning, man, and open the word and pray for us today?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had a joke, but he just flattered me and now I don't know what it was. So I was going to say, normally you just, you know, give me a bass and let me go to town, but now you gave me one of these things and it's definitely a little lighter. All right, well, let's go ahead and we're going to look at Mark 1, 29 through 39. It says, "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." So before we pray, you know, as we've mentioned before, we are a church who believes that God is real and he still speaks to us today. So let's make sure that we listen to him through the message, just through reflecting on the word. And, you know, if you feel that little whisper, that still small voice or whatever, it doesn't have to be big. It could be just something that jumps out, a word or a phrase, or, you know, even if it's not here, but if it's later on today, as you're reflecting on what we've heard and, you know, discussing that with others, just be attentive to that and be ready to sit there and to ponder and reflect on it. This is, you know, it's the word of God. It's timeless and it's meant to have an impact on us, and God will not let that go empty. So, Lord, we love you. And God, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord, with a community of people who love you as well, who show up faithfully and consistently and who just are willing to love you and to love on each other. And Lord, as we're going to be able to do this next week, to just love on our community. We ask for just open eyes and open ears and open hearts for this message, open eyes and open ears and open hearts for this word that you've given to us, just for the clarity and freedom of Sean to be able to preach it boldly as he does so consistently. God, that we could not just be a people who shows up because we're supposed to show up, but who shows up because we want to and we love to, and there's no other option. So just thank you once again for this time. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Matt, thank you so much. Man, I'm telling you, I'm always blown away at how many incredible people we have in our church who are serious about following Jesus. Man, they are engaged in his word. And if you're somebody who says, man, I'm trying to figure this thing out. I'm not really good at opening God's word and understanding it. Man, grab somebody like Matt, invite him to coffee, pay for a coffee, you know, and hang out with him and let him pour into you. Well, we're talking today, the title of our message is this: Compassion with Boundaries. Compassion with Boundaries. You know, we see Jesus moving all throughout scripture and specifically the book of Mark, drawing massive crowds because of his compassion. And he's moving from place to place. And today, as I teach through this text, I want to draw out a little bit of a larger theme that I notice as Jesus moves from place to place. You know, when Jesus moves from place to place, this means this, that he has to set limits and say no in some places so that he can move on and go to other places. And so let's check that out as we walk through our text today. We notice this in verse 29. It actually says this, that immediately Jesus left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon. How many know Simon later becomes Peter, one of the greatest apostles who ever lived? And this wasn't just Peter's house. I was actually tempted as I was writing this message. I kept saying Peter's house. But poor Andrew, like how rude would it be to exclude the fact that this is also Andrew's house? So we're not going to leave Andrew out. Peter and Andrew's home. And, you know, last week we actually talked about what Jesus did in that synagogue. If you missed last week, you can check the message out. But he's in the synagogue with these four disciples and these fishermen, and Jesus teaching the people in the room. And he has an authority about how he teaches. And he astonishes everybody in the room. He's casting out demons, and the word about Jesus actually begins to spread all throughout the area. And then in perfect Mark fashion, Mark says this: immediately after he was doing all this in the synagogue, he moved on. And Jesus moves on here after this encounter. And where does he go? The Bible says he actually goes to his disciples' house, his new friend's house, Andrew and Peter. Now, I think it's important to understand that Capernaum, this town, it's just a small fishing town with 1,000 to 1,500. Maybe that is a little bit debated, but it's a very small town. I think the bottom line is important to know that. And what is interesting about small towns? Anybody from a small town? I was actually eating in a small town this weekend. They had about 1,500 people, little Mexican restaurant there. It was a tiny town. It's one of those towns that everybody knows everybody, right? And not only do you know everybody, but you actually know where everybody lives. And so that's kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't want to live in a small town where everybody in the world knows where I live. But that was this type of a town. Everybody knows you. They know your parents. They know all your dirt. They know all your junk. And if they have a problem with you, they just come walking up to your door and knock on the door. Now, could you imagine what the conversation was like between the four fishermen and Jesus as they were leaving the synagogue, going over to Peter's house? I mean, I can't imagine how pumped up these disciples were. Lowly fishermen, and they walk in, and now they're the boss in the synagogue because the person that they're hanging out with is putting everybody in the synagogue in check. I can only imagine loudmouth Peter, as we know him in scripture, he is probably like elbowing his brother, elbowing the other disciples, going, man, did you see that? I've been so sick and tired of those religious scribes and the religious Pharisees bossing us around, telling us that we can't work on the Sabbath and getting in our business all the time. I'm tired of them telling us what to do. Did you see how they looked at us? They've been looking down at us, and now they're looking at us with fear because Jesus, man, he scared everybody in that room. I can't imagine him high-fiving people. And maybe Andrew was just like, shut up, Peter. You know, like Jesus is hearing everybody. You know, maybe he's just trailing behind them. I don't know what's going on. The Bible doesn't really say that, but I could just imagine all the yapping going on. And Andrew is probably still pondering the fact that, man, one word out of the mouth of Jesus and demons are fleeing. I mean, can you imagine being there with them on that day, hearing this conversation? Well, what about Jesus? What was he thinking on the way over to this house? And, you know, did he respond to these guys as they were yapping? We don't really know. The Bible doesn't say. But here's what we do know happens next. Verse 30 tells us that Simon's mother-in-law, that she laid ill with a fever. And one thing that we have to understand about the way that the listeners heard this read to them, this text, the book of Mark read to them, there was a lot of Jewish people that this text was read aloud out to, and devout Jews understood this about fevers and sickness. They saw fever as actually divine judgment from God. In fact, scripture describes this in places like Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And so verse 30, it continues and it says that Simon's mother-in-law was ill, but immediately they told him about her. The disciples immediately were like, hey, they wanted to draw attention to his mother-in-law. Verse 31 says, so he came and he took her by the hand. He lifted her up. And what happened? The fever left her. And in fact, she was so well that she got up and she began to serve them. Now, remember that the rabbis regarded fever as judgment from God, or they would say a heavenly fire that only God can put out. And it's interesting that Jesus comes along, and what is Jesus doing from the Jewish perspective? He actually steps in the room and reverses God's judgment on Peter's mother-in-law, and this fever leaves her. This was actually quite offensive for Jews to hear this story being told, because they're thinking, who does Jesus think he is? God has judged this woman with his fiery judgment of a fever, and Jesus just comes along and he thinks he can heal her. While other people are hearing this being read going, wow, I heard what he did in the synagogue, and now I'm hearing what he's doing with his followers' family, Peter's mother-in-law. There must be something special about this person, Jesus. I think I want to listen to what he said. And I think some of them understood the scriptures really well. They knew that the Messiah would someday come, as they heard by reading the scriptures. And they understood that only God can remove fever from him. So when Jesus steps in the room and removes fever, there had to be some in the room that day that went, this must be the one God had been talking about. This must be the Son of God. So it's quite interesting when we understand these things about scripture, it kind of changes the way we see them. Now, today we're talking about compassion with boundaries, and I'm teaching through the text a little bit from a large perspective, from a large view. I want you to notice the first thing in your notes is that Jesus was about his friends. Jesus was about his friends, his disciples. And to be about his friends and his disciples, he had to leave the synagogue from where he was to go be with his friends. There's no doubt that the crowd in the synagogue that day, I bet the religious leaders would have loved to keep Jesus there, and they would have loved to continue to pester him with more questions to try to discredit him in the presence of all the people they had influence over. But Jesus said no to the people in the synagogue so that he could say yes to his friends. And in your notes, I want to say it like this. Jesus said no to more so he could say yes to his mates. And yes, I could have said yes to his friends, but I was looking for another M word so that when you filled in the blanks, you had more and you had mates. Here's what we know about Jesus, that Jesus didn't allow people to dominate his time. Jesus wanted to make room for the people at his friend's house, which means he had to say no to the people in the synagogue. And so in Mark's fashion and how he loves to write, he said Jesus immediately left the synagogue. In his compassion, Jesus gave time with people in the synagogue with boundaries. You know, sometimes we think to be a compassionate person, we just need to give with no boundaries. And we need to give until we're completely drained and give until we have nothing left. But that's actually not what Jesus did here in this text. Now, eventually, yeah, Jesus did give until he had nothing left, but he was on a mission with God. And you and I, we're both on mission with God, and we need to remain on mission. And for Jesus to give all he had and remain in the synagogue that day with those people, he would have deterred from God's mission on his life. So he had to move on. We need to learn to set boundaries and at the same time be compassionate with people. You know, one of the things that I try to do and stay focused on is I try to set boundaries with people. Why? Because I love people a lot. If you know anything about me, some say I'm a talker. I don't know where they get that from, but some say I'm a talker. And if I'm hanging out with you, it's like no big deal for us to like go an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. Like, I'm just enjoying my time with you. But one of the things that I've learned to do is to compassionately give my time, but also give it with boundaries. And so oftentimes if you meet with me either before the meeting or sometime in the middle of the meeting, I will give some kind of time boundary. And I'll say, hey, I have another meeting in about an hour. Or I say, hey, I've got another meeting in about 15 minutes. So I just want to make sure you say everything you need to say and that we have time to pray when we're done. And so I'm compassionate, but I also give some kind of boundary there. This also means this, that to be with you, it means I had to set a boundary with my last meeting, right? So I was with somebody else before I was with you, and I had to tell those people, hey, I would love to hang out with you longer, but I've got a meeting in about 10 minutes. And so compassion with boundaries. And so how many know that it's important for us to be compassionate, but it's also important for us to set boundaries for people? In your notes, I think here's a lesson that we can all learn is that this, you can't be everything for everyone, but you can for someone. Yeah, you can't be everything to everybody, but you can for somebody. And you can share compassion with people with boundaries and govern your time with people and move on and remain on mission with God. See, it's really important for us to decide how and who we are going to spend our time with. It's important that your family gets time with you. Hello, right? And that your spouse or your closest friends get time with you. It's important that God gets time with you. But in order for you to fit all of that in, you need to be a compassionate person with boundaries. And here's the question for us today that I think is important to ask. When is the last time you communicated your limits with people? I only have so much time to give. And here's what I can give. You know, I notice that sometimes when we don't communicate our limits, that people can often be frustrated with us, or you can get frustrated. So it's so important for us to have compassion with boundaries and communicate our limits with people. Here's what I know, that if you don't set limits for yourself, people will set them for you. And they'll actually push you beyond your limitations. And then you will begin to enter into that space of emptiness and nothingness. And then you won't have anything to give to the people that God is calling you to. See, when you communicate a limit, you're actually setting an expectation for somebody. And you're helping them to know, I'm going to give you my undivided self, my undivided time, my undivided attention until this time. Right. And then I've got to move on. Compassion with boundaries. As we continue through the passage, verse 32, here's what it says. It continues and it says, and that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick. So at one point they were in the synagogue and now they're in the house. They're, I'm sure, enjoying a time together in the home. People are being healed. And now the scene changes. People begin to bring Jesus, everyone who's sick and everyone who is oppressed. And scripture says, in fact, that the whole city was gathered around the door. Can you imagine being in your small home in the little town of Capernaum? The streets are usually pretty quiet and your mother-in-law is just healed and she gets up and begins to serve them. I can only imagine. She's like, I don't know, making bread, making something. They're eating together. I don't know. Scripture doesn't really tell us. But no doubt they're enjoying fellowship with one another. And all of a sudden, the rumble starts coming on the front porch of the door. As the Bible says, the whole city gathers around the door and interrupts this wonderful time of fellowship with them and their friends. And how did everybody know that this was taking place? Well, it was a small town. Word was spreading. And in the passages before the scripture, the Bible says that after Jesus had left the synagogue, his fame spread all throughout the area. So word was getting around. And how many know in a small town, they knew that Peter, the fisherman that was with Jesus, how many know they knew where he lived? And they knew when Jesus left, he left with Peter and Andrew. They knew where Peter and Andrew lived. So guess where everyone went? The Bible says they went to their house. And what did Jesus do when the crowd arrived? Verse 34 tells us this. It says, and he healed as many who were sick, and he casted out many demons. We're talking about compassion with boundaries. We notice that Jesus was about his friends, but he had to say no to the people in the synagogue to be about his friends. The second thing I notice in our passage today is that Jesus was also about the fracture. He was about the hurting. He was about the broken. And we see this in verse 32 through 34. Yes, Jesus was about his friends. Yes, he was enjoying a time in the home, maybe eating some bread, but no doubt he was also about the hurting, and he was about the broken and the demon possessed. And so what do we know in your notes? Here's what we know for Jesus to remain on mission with the Father. Here's what we know. Jesus said no to friends so he could say yes to the fracture. Jesus set boundaries. When the Father tells me it's time to move on from my meal with you, I'm going to move on. And move on, Jesus did. See, some people, they love to keep their circles tight with their little inner network of friends. And in fact, we know as we read further on in the Gospels that these first disciples were some of the closest disciples to Jesus. In fact, they went with Jesus to places that other disciples did not go. They were the closest with him and they were his inner circle. But Jesus actually doesn't allow this inner circle to hold him back. In fact, Jesus believes that opening up the circle is really, really important. In fact, these disciples oftentimes struggled with opening up the circle and allowing Jesus to move about where Jesus wanted to go. And here's what I know is if people are not willing to allow you to enlarge the circle and let other people in, it's going to be these same people that hold you back from being on mission with the Father. And it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to get comfortable with the people that we know the most. We can feel the most secure. We can be mostly ourselves with them. But Jesus actually breaks open the circle and he says, hey, we're going to go meet the needs of these people that are at the porch. Now, how do you know when somebody is holding you back? Here's a couple things to pay attention to. They're unwilling to share you with others. That is a red flag. How do you know when somebody is holding you back? They want you to belong to them. That's a red flag. They depend on you to fulfill every single one of their needs, and that is not healthy. Even in my relationship with my wife, she cannot fulfill all my needs. And guess what? I cannot fulfill all of hers. She needs other people in her circle to fulfill her needs, not just me. And if I were to hold her back or she were to hold me back, it would be healthy and we would not have what we need. You know that someone's holding you back when people try to control how you spend your time and where you are when they're not with you. How do you know someone's trying to hold you back when they try to sabotage and undermine your plans so that you can be with them? See, when people don't honor your boundaries and limitations, those are dangerous people, and you should beware that it may be these very people who appear to love you deeply. They might be the ones that are holding you back from being on mission with Jesus. You should never allow somebody to abuse your limitations and your boundaries in this way. In fact, Jesus did not. And it's only human nature for us to do this. In fact, we actually see this in child-parent relationships. You know, we actually have to teach our children when they're young to share other kids with mom and dad, right? Especially if another child comes into the home. You've got to teach that firstborn, hey, you've got to share mom and dad with other people. It's in the nature of a human to say, no, they are mine and all mine. You know what I'm talking about? Young adults might have to teach overdependent and protective parents to share their kids with other people. If you have a junior or senior in the house and you are realizing that your child is getting ready to move on, you know what I'm talking about. If you are fresh into college and a couple years out of the home, you know what I'm talking about. It is difficult to open the circle. It is hard for parents to let their kids go because at one point your call as a parent was to protect, but now the protection that you gave your kid when they were a child is now hindering them because you have to let them go and experience life. Even in marriage, we actually see this. We have got to give our spouse freedom and autonomy and independence from us. It is normal. Somebody say normal. It is normal for your husband or your wife to want to go out with the guys or go out with the girls. It is normal for them to want to take a short trip with their friends. It is normal for them to have a hobby or interest outside of the home. We need these things to be refreshed. And listen, I am not talking about an unbalanced amount of time doing these things. I'm not talking about hanging out with people that don't share the vision and mission of your home. I'm not talking about hanging out with people who don't value marriage and don't value commitment to marriage and don't value Christ and biblical values. I'm talking about being with people who love Jesus, who care about your family, who care about your marriage, who care about your children, and they are for you. They are championing you and they are praying for you. Those are good people to be around, and we need to be around them. I'm so blessed to have a wife who shares me with others. In fact, just this last week, I went out of town with two lifelong pastor friends of over 20 years for a 5-day retreat with each other. And man, we solved most of the world problems on our 5.5-hour drive. And then it was like, what are we going to do, you know, the next 5 days together? We've already fixed all the problems of the world. So we just hung out together, man. We spoke into each other's lives. We talked about ministry. We talked about our family. We talked about our dreams. We shared our prayer needs together. And we just had a great time and fellowship with one another. And yes, I put a lot of miles in on my mountain bike. But here is the lesson in your notes. The lesson is this: a wider circle is a blessed circle. We need to have wide circles. In fact, Jesus had really wide circles. His circle was so wide, it started with the four disciples. It moved on to the 12. It moved on. Eventually, there were 72 disciples, and the circle just continues to grow and grow and grow with men, with women. Children were surrounding Jesus. Jesus continued to build his inner circle. And here is the question for you and I today. And the question is this: is your circle open or closed? See, it takes effort to keep the circle open. It takes intentionality to find somebody new and invite them into your circle. To meet somebody and say, hey, you want to go coffee with me? Hey, you want to go to lunch with me? Hey, you want to come over the family's house for lunch this afternoon? Hey, you want to go to lunch after church on Sunday? It takes time and it takes intentionality to open our circle. Aren't you glad that Jesus cared enough about you and there was enough intention in his heart to save somebody, to share the gospel with them, and sent them on mission to you, and they opened their circle to share the gospel with you? Are you grateful for that in the room today? And this next week on Go Day, God is giving every single one of us an opportunity to enlarge our circle, to do something different, to sign up for a team and go be on mission with Jesus. We're talking about compassion with boundaries. Jesus was about his friends, but he had to say no to the people in the synagogue to be with his friends. He was about the fractured. And so he had to say no to his friends and set limits with them to be with the fractured. Scripture says in verse 35, it's on the screen, and it continues, and it says, very early in the morning, Jesus rose, and while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place to pray. The last thing I notice in your notes is Jesus was about the Father. Although Jesus cared about others in the synagogue, he cared about his friends, and he cared about this broken and hurting crowd, he knew for the sake of ministering to others that he also needed to be about the Father's business. In your notes, here's what I know is this, is that Jesus said no to the crowds so that he could say yes to his limits. See, Jesus was a human. In fact, he could only heal so many people. He can only spend so much time with people before he came to the end of his human limits and began to feel empty and not have enough. So he had to escape and get away to pray and be with the Father. The Bible says in verse 36 that he had to go find a place alone. And what happened when he escaped to go get alone with the Father? Verse 36 tells us what happened. It says this: and Simon and those who were with him, they went and searched for Jesus. Jesus got up early to go hide from everybody. And what did everybody do? We're going to go find him. and they're going to look for him. And what did they say? The goal that they had to interrupt the Son of God while he was in prayer. This only goes to show us the disciples did not have a full clue of who Jesus was. And he goes and he interrupts the Son of God in prayer with the Father. And he says, what? Jesus, hey, everyone's looking for you. What are you doing here, Jesus? Everybody needs you over there. How many of you know that if you don't set limits with people, people will set them for you? See, if you don't make your agenda known to others, they will make their agenda known to you. And the same people who Jesus cared about and was with in the home, and in fact is going to spend the rest of his public ministry with, are the same people that were distracting Jesus from his mission. And how did Jesus respond to them? Verse 38 tells us this, and Jesus said to them, let us go on to the next town. Jesus said no to the rest of the crowds that were trying to hunt him down and look for him. He said no to his disciples that wanted Jesus to get back to the ministry with the crowds and the people. And in fact, there's so many lessons that we can learn. We don't have enough time for them today. But we know that this was a distraction for Jesus. The disciples wanted him to get back to his healing and deliverance ministry. And Jesus said, hey, I want you to know what my priority is. He says, I'm moving on and I'm going to the next town because here's my priority, Jesus says, that I may preach there also. I've got to move on to other regions of this community. Why? So that I can preach there also. The disciples wanted Jesus to return back to his healing and deliverance ministry. And Jesus said, nope, that's not why I came. I came to teach and I came to preach. What do we know about healing? What do we know about deliverance? Healing and deliverance is the evidence of the gospel being preached somewhere, but it is not the main point of the gospel. It is not the main point of people and their mission. Our main point is to go and preach the gospel, preach the good news, and the evidence that the good news is being preached is that people should be healed and that people should be delivered. Compassion with boundaries. Jesus did not respond to everybody's demands, not even his closest followers. In fact, he didn't even respond to their demand to go back over there. Jesus just got up and said, hey, I'm moving on. Here's the lesson. The lesson is this: failing to recognize our limits will lead us to failure. Who knows that in that very prayer time that the Father perhaps spoke to Jesus to move on and go to another town. And if Jesus did not recognize his limits with the Father, would he have known that? It's so important for us. Who knows that when you get up in the morning and you recognize your limitations as a human and your ability to do what you need to do for the day, who knows that when you're in your prayer time, the Father might change direction for your day? Because there may be an agenda that people have for you, but the Father says, hey, I actually want you to not do what they want you to do, but I want you to move on to another place. But we can't know that unless we get with the Father and we pray. And here's the question for us today. Are you honoring your God-given limitations? And we all have them. Limitations are a way for us to acknowledge our humanness. I'm not a superhuman. I'm not a super dad. Every time my daughter comes to me and needs something from me, Ellie, I will not always have what you need. There will be times where I'm going to just need to stop and get away because I'm limited. I might not be able to give you the love and hugs that you need, or maybe the forgiveness and compassion, but I need to stop and I need to go get away with the Father and get in his word, so that I can come back and love you the way the Father asked me to love you. Same thing with my wife. Same thing with the church. And you and I, we're humans. We're all the same. We have limitations. And are you honoring them? When you don't communicate your limits with other people, you're not honoring your limitations. When we don't take time with the Father, take time for the crowds, take time for our inner circle, and we just go wherever the wind is leading us, we're probably not recognizing our limitations. And to give our heart and our life to some, we have to say no to others. And we've got to recognize our boundaries and limitations. Right before Mark finishes out this passage in verse 38, he cites some final words of Jesus. We know that Jesus said, hey, we're going to move on to another town. Jesus said, so I can preach there. And then he tells him this. He says, for that is why I came. I came out. It's the whole reason. If we looked at this from our physical eyes, we might think Jesus is saying, well, that's the reason why I came out of the house. Well, I mean, you know that oftentimes Jesus is speaking spiritually to people. He says, no, that's the way. This is the reason why I left heaven. I came out of heaven and I came to earth. Why? So that I could preach the kingdom of God. So that I could preach the good news of Jesus. And the Bible says that he went all throughout the region, preaching in synagogues and casting out demons. In other words, he followed the will of the Father. And we should do the same thing. We notice that Jesus was about his friend, he was about his friends. He was about the fractured, and he was about the Father. If you don't have all of these circles in your life, perhaps you should. Jesus did. Well, I'm going to close the service with two questions today, and I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes all over the room. The first question I have for you is this. Is Jesus in your inner circle? Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? And if you don't today, tonight was not a message on the cross and a full explanation of salvation, but here's what I know is that if you're in the room and you don't know Jesus today, this is probably not the first time you have heard anything about him. I bet that he's been knocking on your door throughout your entire life. I bet that he has been dropping hints and he's been revealing himself to you. And in fact, you actually don't know, need to know everything about him to surrender your life to him. But today, if you have not surrendered your life to him and today you would like to make him your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us this. It tells us as humans, we sin and we've fallen short of the glory of God. That means that we are not ready for heaven. We are not perfected. And the way that we become ready for heaven is that we accept what Jesus did on the cross for us. He died in our place. The Bible says that because we have sinned, because we have failed, we deserve death and separation from the Father in eternity. And a price must be paid, and that price is death. And Jesus stepped in your place and said, hey, I don't want you to pay the price of death. I'm going to pay it for you. And because of that, he offers his life for your death. And today, if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, and you would like to know him as your Savior today, would you just slip your hand up all over the room? And I'm going to tell you a little bit more how you can do that. And we're going to pray with you today. Is there anybody in the room like that? Anybody in the room? The second question I have for you today is this. Matt said in the beginning of the message, hey, God wants to talk to you. He reminded you that we are in a church that believes God still speaks to us. And he encouraged you to listen for moments where God and the Holy Spirit would whisper to your heart and say, hey, pay attention to that. Hey, I want to talk to you more about this. And he spoke to you in a still small voice today. If he talked to you in any way today, would you just stand on your feet all across the room? God whispered some things to me today. And man, I want to invite everyone to open your eyes and lift up your heads and just look around at the people that God is talking to today. And be encouraged that God hears you when you pray, that God cares about your needs. He cares about your heart, and he wants to speak to you, to speak life into you, to help you with the limits in your world, to help you to set clear limits and boundaries with others so that he can be with you, so that you can be with your loved ones and your family, and so that you can be on mission for him. I'm going to invite everyone in the room to stand up. I want to pray for you right from where you're at today. And then we're just going to close the message out, and the worship team is just going to sing the last part of this song, just in worship together. And I just want to also tell you this, as your pastor, I love being with you on Sunday. You know, there's so many weeks where, you know, Ellie and I will be talking about church tomorrow and we're praying, and I'm like, I can't wait to see our church family tomorrow. And she's like, I know, me too. I've got so many friends there. It's just great to serve Jesus with you. And it's great to worship with you. And it's great to pray with you and have a connection with you. You bring life to me and you bring life to one another. And that's what the body of Christ is all about. So we're going to pray and just seal this time with a little bit of worship. Father, we just love you and we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you showed us how to live life with compassion and with boundaries. God, thank you for allowing your word to come alive to us. God, your Holy Spirit to speak to us about very unique things that are very personal and custom to our life personally, but also corporately as believers. God, as you speak to us, God, we're going to obey you this week and we're going to go out together on mission to share and show the gospel with the world. In Jesus' name, amen.